So we are going to talk about this when others sin against you. And our text will be 1 Peter 2. So if you want to turn there, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's pray together. Father, we want to take this time to just stop and think and to reflect on you. Father, we teach ourselves and we teach our counselees about all things work together for good. Our goal is to please you. Our goal is about not our schedule, but about pleasing you. And Father, you know all the events that happened today. They're under your sovereign control, a loving Father that would allow all these things to happen. And I just pray that you'll give us a great time of learning and about challenging and being challenged by one another. We need to talk about this issue when other people sin against us. It happens to us, and we deal with it all the time in counseling. May we be better prepared and better equipped to handle these kind of issues. Our hearts, our souls need this. And the people that we counsel need this also. Thank you that your word gives us sufficient answers. And we want to work hard at mining that, understanding that, and applying that to our lives and to help those individuals that come across our paths who need the truth from your word. In your name, amen. So when others sin against you, and I begin, I'd like to ask you a question. And of course, the question would come right out of the topic. Have you ever been wronged by someone when you truly believed you did nothing to deserve it? Raise your hand if that's ever been your case. Because if you didn't raise your hand, that means you deserved it every time it happened to you. So, and again, I mean really wronged. I mean really misjudged, accused, abused, abandoned. We're not just talking about, I just didn't kind of like this. We're not talking about, oh, well, it didn't feel very good. We're not talking about that. We're talking about really, really, really wronged. A clear, obvious, no question violation of God's word in the way the person is treated. Or perhaps through someone else's sin that wasn't directed personally against you has had a devastating effect on your life for one reason or another. And let me talk about a couple of situations that we can think about. One of them clearly is part of our culture today. Imagine you're employed at a well-known, reputable company. Could we name some of them that we thought were well-known and reputable? And you're faithful in your job. You're a hard worker. You're honest in your dealings. You try very hard to be fair. But due to reasons unknown to you, what happens to your job? Your boss doesn't like you. He's not a communicator. Doesn't seem to please him. You can't please him no matter how hard you try. You arrive at work one day only to find out you've been demoted, received a cut in pay, because your boss says you're not fit for the job. And by the way, in our culture today, that probably would be better than what normally is happening. What normally is happening is you're fired. No, we're just terminating your position. Or everybody's job has been ended. When the boss told you what was wrong, you knew he was judgmental. He wrongly interpreted your motives, your behavior. How do you respond to that? How do you respond when others sin against you? Imagine you're the parent of a teenage daughter. Anybody have teenage daughters in the room? Yeah, a parent of a teenage daughter. And all your life, you've tried very hard to teach her God's word and model Christ's likeness to her. You've made it very clear you're not perfect, but you tried very hard to reach her heart. Not just changing the behavior, but really to reach her heart for the Lord. She seems to follow your teaching and respond in a pretty good way. Then she turns 18. At 18, she leaves her home and tells you she has no more interest in church, and no more interest in doing anything related to what God would want her to do. What would you do? Now, trials and hardships are part of all of our lives. All of our lives. And responding biblically when other people sin against you can be very, very challenging. And many times it does occur with the people that we love and trust the most. And I think where you'll see this in counseling occur over and over again is when you counsel couples. Because what happens with couples is typically with many times you'll see one of the couple who was maybe unfaithful. And what's the wrong assumption that we make on that? We assume that that's always the guy. By the way, it's not always the guy. It's not always the guy. But again, the example of another sin, and how do you handle that even in the counseling room? How do you handle it when the person that's been sinned against feels like they're a victim? Well, I was a victim. I'm a victim of this circumstance and this situation. How do you handle it? How do you help them? And again, in a sin-cursed world, which is this a sin-cursed world? And all of us are living which side of heaven? This side of heaven, whichever side it is I'm living. Again, we are bound to be wrong, sometimes very painfully. Somewhere along the line it's going to happen. So let's lay some groundwork. What we're going to address is a clear-cut sin issue that the Bible addresses. When you think about this, when you've been wronged and sinned against, what's some examples of the ways that we're naturally drawn to respond and react? What would be some words that you would use to how you'd answer that question? Anger. Gossip. Revenge. Retaliation. Crying. By the way, and again, there's lots of reasons for crying in the counseling room. But you ever see crying in the counseling room? It happens in the counseling room, and you have to kind of figure out why or what's going on. Maybe somebody'd worry about it. Maybe they'd withdraw. Maybe they'd get bitter. Maybe they could even get self-righteous. Can I tell you what it looked like to be self-righteous? I would never do that to someone like you did. The self-righteous response. And again, do you recognize yourself in any of these wrong responses? And hopefully you'd say, yeah, maybe we're better than that. Maybe we don't really respond that way, but inside of us, what are we thinking inside? It doesn't come out that way sometimes, but sometimes inside we struggle with this. And again, it can be very difficult to respond in a godly way when we've been legitimately wronged by others. The question becomes, what do we focus on? Ourselves. We focus on ourselves. We focus on how we've been wronged. We don't focus on God. We don't focus on responding in a godly way. One of the keys that I think we always have to see, people come into counseling with problems and they want to tell us all about the problems, many times to legitimize why they acted the way they acted. Let me tell you why I acted this way because of all these things that happened. And you and I have to always work at, yes, we have to understand the situation. We have to gather data. I'm all for that. I'm all about that. But one of the questions that we always have to be asking and thinking about is, yeah, here's the circumstances. Here's the situation. But the key question is, how did you respond? How did you respond? What was your response in the situation? And another one, can you think of some of any examples in the Bible of individuals who were treated wrongly and responded in a godly fashion? Okay, Joseph is a great one in Genesis. The example of Jesus Christ, absolutely. Daniel, good. Paul, say it again. David, yeah, David when Saul was out to get him, tried to kill him. Paul through the book of Acts and his prisons of pencil, and most of all the life of Christ. You got them all. Now, let's read through 1 Peter 2, 18 through 25. Servants, verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God, a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. Verse 20, for what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, by the way, do we sin? Yeah, and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience.